I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Amazingly, this is not the first intro we've done right now.
We recorded one and it was perfect.
It was kind of perfect. We covered all our bases.
Yeah, and now it's like, I can't believe I have to talk about any of that again. Two things we have to cover.
Yeah.
One, the chocolate spoons are from my sister. Thanks to everyone who asked. It was a nice present. She actually sent you a WhatsApp prior
to them being sent.
She said, there's chocolate on the way.
There's two chocolate spoons.
She didn't specify they were spoons.
I remember being absolutely kind of haunted by it.
I remember when I told you. Because I didn't bring it up until halfway through the pod. And then you were like, why didn't you tell me sooner?
I would say that probably like the air of mystery around that was slightly my fault of being just like completely haunted. Like,
yeah.
I just was disturbed by the idea of it being a spoon. You know, like any kind of chocolate form, like chocolate cups or chocolate, always kind of freaks me out a little.
A spoon, yeah, and they're quite thick spoons.
And was it to stir
into a little tea and then you like kind of lick it and then you stir.
In your
you
tea?
It, you stir. Oh, yeah, I was using tea.
I would put it in hot milk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I don't think it was, like, soft enough to kind of all melt and then turn into a hot chocolate.
Oh, so it's mainly just to, like...
It's mainly to have a little chocolate that you dip in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, cool. And then that was the first thing we had to cover. And then the second thing is that Eli has not... Well, I asked the question in the previous record before we realized that the machine wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
The machine that records the podcast.
The giant machine.
I said, Eli, do you think you're starting the year on a good foot? And that was actually a leading question because I knew we had to address up top. And that was me, I guess, doing what you would call journalism?
Graham Nordening.
Graham Nordening.
Leading me into the story.
Leading you into a story that I already had been briefed on. Don't you love when celebrities do that?
I love that.
You hear them do the same stories.
Ugh, gorgeous stuff. And then I talked about how I had been feeling on top. a recap podcast of a podcast that didn't happen.
Mystery intro.
I have been feeling on top of things. And then ultimately on my new e-bike, which I love and I still love, I did injure myself, fucked up my face. And
now
I'm fine.
You didn't fuck up your face. It's just a little rugged. You kind of got like a fat lip.
A little cleft lip.
And you've sort of got like a little scratch there.
And I would actually love if that little scratch stayed. But it's healing quite fast. You know, like
amazing.
Have a little cut along the cheek.
Yeah.
But your lips heal very fast. A lot of blood heal fast. That's the deal with lips.
Really?
A lot of blood vessels down
good
there.
Good for kissing. A lot of blood heal fast.
Yeah. And have you started the year on a good foot? I didn't actually ask you in the previous episode because I'm rude.
No, it didn't matter because what was important is that you got to share your story of falling off a bike.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And at the moment, I'm leading you into mystery. I don't know if you have anything to say.
Which I would call bad journalism.
Yeah.
But risky, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Because I could say anything right now.
You could. But I could deal with it.
I would say, like I'm starting on a steady foot. You know, I'm doing this ginormous Subway ad at the moment.
Delicious sandwiches.
And I would say ginormous in the sense that it is just filming. It's taking a lot of time to film it.
A lot of ads, it's like, boop, yep, and you're done.
Yeah, it is. We shoot an ad in a day, and it's up for a week, and then it's gone again. Have you seen any of them?
No.
You watch TV for your... Oh, no, you don't really watch TV for your job anymore.
Not at the moment. Well, they're always on in the newsroom, which I'm at the moment.
All right. Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
And welcome along to our 100th episode of The Male Gaze.
I literally
asterisk or star Not actually 100.
Yeah. It's our 100 and, it's 100th episode.
It's our, we're calling it the 100th episode because our producer, Tim, said before we left last year, like, your next episode will be 100 episodes. And then I was like, we just started celebrating immediately.
Immediately we were like...
planning.
Yeah.
A party.
A hugest episode. We're going to have a launch. We're going to have a party. We're going to have a celebrity guest.
We always want a celebrity guest, never organize them. And then I was like, did a bit of research. I would say 30 seconds of research. Yeah. And that's all it took, actually, to learn this is not the 100th
episode.
This
is the 102nd episode.
Yeah, it's like 102, 3, whatever. But that doesn't matter because we build our own laws. And you're right there?
Yeah, I just had a little burp.
First chest pain.
No, two burps.
Both alike. we went to drama school.
Yeah, you choose your own 100th episode. I mean, just like you choose your own family as a gay,
community.
Queer.
I mean, our family have not reduced us. But
no, our families are both loving and supportive.
But we do also choose our own family. Yes. And we have partially chosen ours. Anyway, you are part of my family.
You too, and God. Apart from our letter from the Queen, the other thing we're doing to celebrate our 100th episode is we got into our notes apps today and put together a list. We are listing the 100 things that made us gay.
Because on this podcast, we famously believe it is nurture over nature.
It's full nurture.
It's nurture.
It's nurture from the get-go. I came out fucking straight.
I
was a straight baby.
I've played this game with my friends called Wavelengths. Wavelengths. Have I played it with you yet?
I don't think so.
Where, actually, no. I'm not going to explain the game because it is the hardest game to explain, despite being very simple.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, you... You have to, like, kind of... at the end of the day, you end up debating topics. And I got the group debating this topic of nature versus nurture and whether, like, they... Wow. And, you know, like, whether they sort of believe in it or not. And it was very interesting.
Really?
Because they were like, what? You know, like...
Wow.
I guess at the end of the... Yeah, like, anyway. It's not... This is not a good story.
I think it's a combo of both, but I'm also not a scientist. I don't know.
We're really starting the year deep.
Yeah, powerful stuff. Powerful stuff at the start. I need to tell you right now as well that I, because of my stitches, I can't really like fully smile. So a lot of the time I'm laughing with a straight face at the moment.
Exactly. It makes you sound really smart.
I can't do it. It's so bad.
Well, the listeners are going to love that.
Yeah, and you know, well, you know if you've really made me laugh because I'll say, ow.
Oh, amazing. That's what we go for here. So we thought, yeah, this episode's all going to be, and maybe we'll do it in two parts, will all be about the 100 things that made us gay, that we blame, that made us gay.
Yeah, we actually hold responsible, and we're actually going to Kill Bill style revenge kill
absolutely
all of them. We hate being gay, actually. It's a chore. This is a chore.
And I'm excited about overlap. Now, obviously, Eli and I did not do 100 each because that would take too much time.
That would be crazy.
30. We don't really do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We love you guys. We love this podcast, but we don't...
We just don't have the time.
No, we don't have the time for that. So we have done 50 each, which, if you know simple math, it would equal...
That one. Equals 100. 50 plus 50 equals 100.
No.
That's actually Kaylee's...
50 times 50 is what I believe you said.
Or did I say times?
Yeah.
Oh,
50 plus 50 is equals 100 for those of you math fans out there. So we should go one for one.
How many math fans out there are listening? Absolutely, we should go one for one.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with my top 50. Number 50, because I've actually ranked mine.
You ranked it?
Well, ish.
I just kind of went as it came.
I winged it, but then I thought, well, as I went from 1 to 50, like, 1 was obviously the one that was at the top of my mind, and therefore I was like, well, that's the most critical one then.
Wow.
And then I did a bit of reshuffling, because I was like, well, I don't want to end and be at 1, and then it be like Tim Tams or whatever, you know, and then be like, oh, what a flop.
Oh, I think mine's going to be that way, but I'm going to read 1 to 50.
Oh, you're going to read 1 to 50?
No.
You have to read 50 to 1.
Really?
Okay, well, cool. Read the way that you think's the most climactic, but... In order of a countdown, any kind of countdown, you never really, I mean, sort of historically, when I've watched, you know, Top of the Pops, or they don't really start at your number one song and then end the show on the sort of 25th show on the charts.
Sometimes sort of a magazine will be like, the 50 best albums of the year, and it won't order them, you know, it'll just, here they are, in alphabetical order. They're all equally good.
What magazine? Because I would say majority, like.
Most of them would rank them, yeah.
And then you'd get a big old page for number one, you know?
Yeah.
Which it also, compiling this list made me sort of mourn that style of, I would say, journalism.
Mm.
Of
real news.
When we used to say, when we used to compile hot lists of just
hot
like.
Or not, up or down.
Well, not hot or not, just who's the hottest man of this year.
Yeah.
And we don't really do that anymore. And actually, I found in the archives, like New Zealand had compiled their own lists of like. It was like 2010's most sexiest men.
Yeah.
And it was such an insane list that we would never write a list that's just like, this person is so hot. Like, could you imagine?
Well, did you know, this is some breaking news that I found out today on Dan Carter's Wikipedia page. Because
he pops up on my list.
Yeah, I think we're going to, I'm doing a job involving All Blacks. Anyway, and I was just researching. Okay. I'll tell you.
Exclusive. Eli is working with the All Blacks.
No, I'm on set for a 7 Sharp interview with some All Blacks. But then I was looking up Dan Carter, who's not involved in the interview in any way, but he was ranked 11th on People's Sexiest Men internationally.
Wow. He also does ads for the Discount Chemist Warehouse, which I don't know whether that is a sign of prosperity or a cry for help.
It's also wild that he's like, not just ads, he's wearing the uniform in the ads. He's wearing the polo.
To apply, he works there.
Yeah.
I would, if Dan Carter was there, I don't know what he'd be able to help me with.
One time I saw Dan Carter.
Hair gel?
Yeah. Protein powder?
Protein powder, for sure.
I've seen him at Les Mills once, just after the Rugby World Cup final in 2015, and people kept walking up and being like, good job, mate.
For fuck's sake, what was he doing at Les Mills?
I know, I was like, you can afford the smallest, privatest, boutiquest, sleekest
run, go
gym.
For a run, yeah. Or like, chill out.
Yeah, also don't go to the gym, you just finished the World Cup.
Fuck off.
Chill
that's
out.
That's like actually after the our most recent election, on my flight from Auckland to Wellington, from Wellington to Auckland, sorry, was Grant Robertson, Chris Hipkins, we had the Governor's General.
Wow.
And I had Dan Carter! And he had a Louis Vuitton bag.
I had, on my last flight to Wellington, Joseph Parker, Paula Bennett.
You always...
Just those two.
You always get someone famous on a Wellington flight.
Yeah, always.
Because it's the capital.
It's the capital,
We don't say that enough. Okay, number 50. I'm saying The Strip.
Oh, wow, not on my list. Amazing.
I think for a couple of reasons. One, for the two strong female leads, played by Jodie Rimmer,
yeah. Luann Gordon. I loved
Campy,
Luann
Gordon. Campy, fun. They're
so cool.
Both strong female leads. Definitely, I think, shape a young gay boy, but also the upper body nudity. I was going to say full frontal, but we're just mainly getting pecs.
Lots of shitless stuff. And I appreciate it from a renovation point of view, because like the first episode is her stripping this bar down and turning it into a strip. Like,
maybe that is
it.
The strip.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Stripping the wallpaper
I also
off.
Remember lots of sort of strips of colour in their hair.
Yeah.
Little shocks of red,
also,
purple.
Taika Waititi is in the strip, and not enough people talk about it.
And I think
it should be mentioned in every single article about him.
You should definitely write a spin-off piece about that.
Yeah.
And also, it is comforting to know, like... You could be on The Strip, and then also you could one day become like the most famous director.
Yeah. Okay, my 50th one. And this is such a fun one to start with. The Samsung phone with the polar bear. Did you ever have that one?
Mm.
Tiny little, gorgeous little, cute silver Samsung. I don't remember what it was, but it was like in between. It didn't have a camera, but it was color and animated. So it was the first time a phone had a wallpaper that moved. And I loved it. Very cute, very sleek, so easy to carry around. And I loved, and you couldn't, I think there was maybe three wallpapers to choose from. But the main one was a polar bear kind of like moving in the snow.
Gays love technology.
Especially tiny little phone.
Yeah. Mm. I was definitely like searching for it in my list, like a sensation or a feeling of like walking on like, feeling like an empowered businesswoman.
Yeah.
Basically, I feel like that is the fantasy that lots of young gay boys sort of go for.
Flip phone.
And a flip phone.
A
would
flip phone I wanted right away as soon as I saw it.
Absolutely, because you want that kind of gossip girl fantasy.
And to not pry it open, but to flip.
To flip it open.
Charlotte Pickles vibes.
49, Zac Efron, post High School Musical. Sorry. Post High School Musical, pre Baywatch era.
I would say High School Musical 3. Do you know what's.
I would have never.
Zac Efron's not on my list. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's shocking.
I lost my mind.
I didn't want to include him because it feels so obvious, but then I was like, he was certainly the one that I was being like, I would do anything to fuck him. Like, that's, my mind was just like crying.
I definitely worked at the cinema when High School Musical 3 was on, which famously was the only one to be theatrically released.
Yes.
And I would, yeah, try and creep
jerk those... off in the back row.
Well, there was one scene where he would play basketball shirtless. I didn't ever jerk off in a cinema, mind you, but I did have a look. Number 49 for me, the ad for Nair and realizing maybe I want to try it. You know, the hair removal cream.
Nads?
Nads. No, isn't Nair one? N-A-I-R? Oh, no, maybe it is
I'm
Nads.
I'm just going to check with our researcher, Nair hair, the green stuff?
Yeah.
Baby,
I it's think. Called Nads.
I'm sure it's Nads.
Anyway, I remember seeing that and because I had like a little bit of body hair and I think maybe, and now I'm like, I love... Love.
Oh, there is a Nair.
There's Nair, yeah.
But I remember Nads.
Yeah.
Was Nads
the strips, though? One was the strips and one was the cream.
Oh, maybe Nads was the strips.
Anyway, I remember seeing the hair, like a man removes
also
hair.
Also the strip.
Everything is the strip in this.
It's very interesting. Okay, interesting.
I remember seeing the ad and, like, you know how people lose their body hair and then their bodies look amazing because obviously they also, like, work out in between the before and after shots. But I was like, oh, he got abs after he got rid of his hair.
Mm.
First of all, I like to look at it. Second of all, maybe I'll have abs if I can get rid of my hair, even though I had barely any pubes at this point. Anyway, it's exciting for me to think about.
The pubes was the thing that you were going to get rid of to create abs.
To create abs, yeah. I thought once you got rid of the pubes, you'd see abs.
And I there's a life lesson there.
Yeah.
Boys, you got to remove your pubes. It's the only way you get abs. I'm going to say for number 48 for me is Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, the OG season.
Yeah,
I think seeing some strong gay leads.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable. That
and your favourite member of the cast was 1, 2, 3,
Carson. The hottest member, Jay. But he wasn't my favourite.
Wow.
I think there was something, even though I feared to be compared to Carson,
yeah,
to know that he was living his kind of like full wear a t-shirt fantasy,
yeah,
without judgment and was like just full acceptance into the world, I was like, there's hope. I think that subconsciously informed he... is a trailblazer, do I dare
He's
say?
A powerful, amazing figure, and I got a cameo from him for my birthday from Alice Nedden. I'll pop it up on the gram once this episode comes out so you can have a watch of my cameo from Carson Grizzly. Where I think she said I was going to try and steal his job or something for the New Zealand reboot of Queer Eye that we'll get in 2046.
Yeah, and we will be too old for it.
Yeah, but we'll watch. 48 for me, Fiona Apple, Never Is a Promise. Do you know the song?
No, but very moody.
Very moody. And it was like, it's like just piano and vocal. And it's like about, to me, it was like a tough marriage. And, you know, I don't know, does that feel gay to you to be invested in divorce stories from a young age?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a melodramatic. Yeah. The
divorce
song Never Is a Promise.
Absolutely.
Is so,
who got divorced on the... Simpsons? No, no one. But I definitely remember
Milhouse's parents.
Yeah, yeah, I was deeply invested in that.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about Ned Flanders, but that was when his wife died.
There's something about a newly divorced woman that's very and I don't even know if the song is about marriage at all, but it has the mood to me is.
How old were you when you were getting into this
difficult relationship? I'm gonna say 10 or 11. Never Is a Promise. Is this about the same time as this Fiona Apple song Criminal was her big song right now?
So amazing to be getting into music at 10 or 11. 10 or 11.
Mm.
That is so young to have any element of taste.
Older sisters who were into it was a big
that
part
helps.
Of it. And my sisters, like, played piano. So they played the song.
Very talented, your family.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to go in with 47. All the girls who befriended me at primary school.
Gorgeous, of course.
I do solely kind of blame them.
Yeah.
I think they're... And that's where I begin to waver into nature versus nurture, which is ultimately what this entire episode is about.
And we'll
I'm like,
prove
they
it.
Just knew. They just... What is up
he
with that?
You out.
They
yeah.
just were like, oh, he wants to play princesses and he can be the cat. You know, like.
Yes. And do you think they were also like, I'm not scared of him?
Yeah. I don't
like,
know.
There's no reason.
Just no interest to play soccer with the boys.
Yeah.
But, like, I wasn't hunting down the girls to play with them, but it was just like, of course we're hanging out together.
It's crazy. It's wild how girls know at primary school, I think. And I think.
Honey, we
I think
always
back,
knew.
I think back of like, all the friends at high school that I became close with, it's like, oh, yeah.
It's always the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had a friend who, when we were like sort of 12, 13, would go to the Palms in Christchurch and go to a movie together, you know. Mm-hmm. That was just very formative days of my life, just being able to, like, I think you get to, like, live at your capacity, you know. It's before sexuality is, like, brought into the equation, and so you're just, like, hanging out with gal friends, hanging, like, one of the gals, and they're just like, we love him, you know. And, like, they don't even go, like, oh, he's just, like, one of the girls. They're just, like, they just see it on, like, a level, like, an equal level.
I think my family was, like, so resistant to any kind of masculine ideas, because that it was always reinforced to me. They were like,
"You it's have weird only when sisters in your
not many male influences in the house, you know." And it was very clear from, like, the rules of, like, day dot. It was like, boys don't have to be friends with just boys. Boys can be friends with girls. Like, that was, like, one of the things that was repeatedly told to me. I think because you know, they wanted me to be a nice person, because I think boys who hang out with only boys their whole life,
fuckheads.
Are fuckwits.
I got on my, when we got compliments from our class when I became student of the week, brag, I guess.
Nice, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm still kind of running high off that. But they, like, you'd sit in the class and, like, the whole class would write you compliments. And my compliment was that I had good gender balance, which is a thing. It's not really a term I've heard around. It was that I played with.
I'm maybe on a panel show.
I mean, ultimately, it is a flawed term because it is really heavy on the binary. But is that I, at, you know, in 1995, played with boys and girls, which now we know that this gender is more than that. It's in fact a full, glorious spectrum. But I remember being like, that's an odd one for just being my first compliment, just, like, straight off the gate. Like, no one was like, hilarious. Great style. Really works a uniform.
Gender balance friends. My next one is when men take their shirt off in the fast way. You know, you kind of scoop it from the inside of the armpit, so then you just, in one motion, can pull your shirt off. And it was, like, a trending thing
Absolutely don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, I'd do it for you if...
Hold on. Absolutely, but I'm going to film it.
No, I'm not going to be able to do it with my earphones
on. We'll take them off.
Okay. I'm going to stand up and do it for you. You've got to go.
This is going to be the hottest thing I've ever seen. So basically, I'm filming Eli as he's taking his shirt off from the armpit. And it's honestly so hot, but ultimately really awkward. And I don't think it's working. Would I say that is a trend? No.
I think you need a dry shirt to do it. But it's...
What? Dry shirt?
I went to the gym like 2 hours ago and I still haven't showered.
My shirt's dry. I'm going to have to give it a go.
Okay, so...
you can film me doing it.
Pinch it inside that armpit. And then it should come out like that. Okay?
I'm off the mic. Yeah, I'm giving it a go.
Okay, Chris, without even seeing me try it. I reckon there are people who listen who know what I'm talking about. This
so
fast way.
Here is where you start,
yeah, right? One here. And it's like a circular motion over that way. Yes?
That.
Like that?
I don't...
But you can do that. No, if you do that at, like, triple speed.
Oh.
That was really sexy. Chris has a fucked up face now as well. I just sat in silence for so long and let you talk off the mic. But no, there was an early video trend in the videos on the internet where men would do, like, take the shirts off really fast by scooping it from the
early internet trend. Oh my god, it's like Jake Gyllenhaal putting his shirt on when he's doing, like, that handstand against the wall. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
That almost just made me come on him, watching
and,
it.
Him and Tom Holland both do it.
Oh, my God. When will they go public? Okay. I'm going to go. Oh, here we go. 46. The boom of surfer culture in the
okay,
early...
Okay, here it is. No, Chris, I've got to show you a video of this.
Here we go.
Here's a guy in a blue t-shirt with a Thunderbolt on it.
This was released 13 years ago.
Yeah, so this will be around when it is. Like that.
That turned you gay.
Yeah. Not this particular guy in his yoga pants.
Can't wait to. If you want to get our footage, then you will have to subscribe to our OnlyFans.
You will.
Okay, 46 for me is the boom of surfer culture in the early 2000s.
Wow.
I think it was washboard
Billabong.
Abs, like, mainly surfers.
Frosted tips, shark tooth necklace.
Yeah, like, they were sort of sex. Like, just, like, guys became, like, incredibly relaxed and chill. And, like, I think that's where, like, it was, like, about, like, I don't know, that was probably the first kind of, like, male form that I was like, this is hot.
Yeah.
You know, because it was, like, I was like getting into the idea of like liking guys at that age. Well, that was beginning to like become a little flame, you know, and there was a lot of surfers around.
I was also so jealous of anyone who could confidently have their shirt off at that age because of my back acne.
Yeah, and I have one pec, and so I also would never do that.
Yeah.
What a crazy thing to say. And I have one pec. So I don't think I've ever talked about that on the podcast, but it's a really amazing fun thing about me. And we'll go into that on a later date. Okay.
My next one is Marge Simpson, the character.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Again,
gay
I think
icon.
Sad housewife. You know, like, so many of her storylines are like, she's kind of hard done by, she's sad. And I love, I love when she gets upset. I'm always on her side. I love her voice. I also recently watched the episode where she becomes a drag queen with, who's in it? Raja and RuPaul are both in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love the episode where she remakes that suit many, many times. And ultimately, like a true kind of queer narrative, that one around just like that reach for designer, that designer look, but not being able to necessarily attain it through wealth.
Yeah.
And so doing what you can with what it's like the ultimate, like, drag sewing challenge.
Yeah.
And honestly, someone that is an inspired it's a drag race challenge.
Also, I love the episode she got breast implants. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. That was fun.
Okay. Oh, 45. This is a fun one, actually. JJ Feeney's Scandal Queenie.
Love.
I just sort of think, like, my dad used to drive me to school a lot on his way to work, and it would always be on the radio. And just the way she talked about gossip, scandal, and she was, for the international listeners, I don't know if there are any, she's just kind of like, was on the biggest radio station.
She's the queenie of scandals.
And she did all the scandal. And I guess it's the day before Twitter.
That's what I'm like, so how did she find this out?
It's like, she should get an order of merit. Well, she was a scandal.
She's kind of queenie. To me, listening to that, it was like, oh, she has sources.
Yes.
Who are telling her what, like, Tom Hanks is up to.
Exactly.
And it was always Tom Hanks.
It was always Tom Hanks. But she ultimately was like, planting the idea that male celebrities are sexy.
Yes.
As well. And she would always be like, oh, I would love to kiss him and rub a banana on his body. You know, would like that was the way she talked in my head that I think ultimately turned me gay.
You know what's sad is that she moved out of that apartment. We both knew where she lived, and it was near where we worked and near my house, and I would run past it, and I would always have a little peep in to see what she was watching on Netflix.
Every time I drove past, I would say, it's JJ Feeney's kind of thing.
I would say it to everyone.
I said to absolutely everyone.
JJ Feeney there?
She's gone, but she's I know where her new apartment is.
I also know that too.
And we will not be disclosing that, and also probably shouldn't be sharing it with each other. But we are obsessed.
Okay. Wanting to watch Practical Magic and not being allowed because of witchcraft.
And it's obsessed. The restrictions that make you gayer, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the things you are not allowed.
Yeah. And it makes it so much more dangerous and so much more sexy.
It's not that
I find the witches sexy. It's that I want to be a witch a little bit.
Hard out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe that, and I also ultimately believe that witches will make you gay.
Yeah, and I was obsessed with Angelica Houston, not on my list, but is such a sexy witch, powerful witch.
She might be on my list.
She's also in Smash, which is the gayest show of all time.
Okay, she was not on my list, but she was going to be on my list.
Wow.
And that performance is one of the greatest of all
time.
Oh,
good.
And I
refuse to watch the Anne Hathaway version.
I've seen it.
How is it?
It's just... She doesn't. There's some bad choices around her body that they've made that people have found really, which is really offensive, and also she's just like on a second note, like just doesn't get camp.
Yeah,
she's kind of the opposite of camp. Anne Hathaway. She's so earnest. Anyway,
wow.
My feel just absolutely dragged her. Coming in number 44 is Barney the Dinosaur on my list.
Purple.
I just think, what kind of human was that dinosaur? You know, like, his personality is based on a human. And who is this guy? I mean, there was lots of rumors going around back in the day that he was
a pedophile or
which was
killed himself.
Nonsense. But there was because there was a couple of other dinosaurs. There was Baby Bop and there was another one who was kind of yellow. And that guy was like a little rascal boy. Screamed.
The green triceratops, is that Baby Bop?
Yeah.
And she's just cool and
she was
fun.
Kind of baby girly. And then there was like this kind of yellow dinosaur who was like into skateboarding and had a backwards cap and was ultimately giving you kind of Bart Simpson straight heteronormative, like heterosexual story narrative. Whereas Barney, you know, was all about compassion and love and kindness.
Beautiful songs, Demi Lovato. You know what's crazy about Barney? So I saw it after seeing Jurassic Park. So I'm already obsessed with dinosaurs from age four, from seeing a horrific movie about dinosaurs eating people. We need to put the light on. But let me finish this thought. It's nighttime now.
We're just going to be doing this podcast in pitch black.
When I moved from Auckland to Christchurch, Barney was one of the first things that I saw on TV.
Originally born in Auckland?
Yeah, I lived in Auckland when I was five.
Wow.
What a bombshell to drop on you on
That's
the 100th
a huge
episode.
Bombshell. And honestly, I read you differently.
Yeah.
You're just like a different person to me. Now.
Lived in, would have gone to St. Helier's School.
What?
Lived out that kind of Glendowie way.
Mm.
Anyway, I saw Barney on the TV in Christchurch. First of all, I thought we had left New Zealand and moved to a different country.
Yeah.
Second of all, I saw Barney on TV and I thought it was an exclusively Christchurch show. I thought because we moved city, that Barney was what came with Christchurch. Should I go flip the light on?
Yeah, good luck. It is just a gorgeous,
bright now.
Sort of pale fluorescent tube. And we love that.
We love our studio.
It is a hate crime, this light.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll go.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think I just did Barney.
Well, we can kind of skim over this one because I've talked about this too much, but it is seeing Moulin Rouge at the cinema 12 times.
I'm so glad that's on your list.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing film, and we obviously, our hearts break for the live musical.
Oh, did you read this New York Times article?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you should read it.
You talked about it.
I just read it this morning or last night, one of the two.
It was saved on your tab, so actually that's amazing progress that you... Something that was saved on your tab, because you told me about this a few days ago. You actually did read in the end.
It's an oral history. And not only was it just... It's not just about the fact that COVID shut it down, but like everyone in the production got COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. And now they're
Were
like,
they still going in the pandemic?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's on them.
They
then.
Would like... The day before Broadway was fully shut down, they were like still doing a show. And a few people were like starting to get symptoms, but still doing the show because of obviously... The culture of theatre is...
The show must go on, but actually...
Doctor Theatre. Doctor Theatre!
We've actually learned that Doctor Theatre is not a doctor.
It's
and
not
actually,
a doctor at all.
The show must go on is not necessarily true. Unless, of course, it is adaptable to Zoom, which we all know...
Theatre's actually better on Zoom.
Do you remember when people used to say the phrase, said no one ever?
Imagine going back.
I would.
You know what I wanted to bring in, since watching The Prom, which we also have to talk about in another episode, I guess. Really wanted just to bring it some zazz into the lexicon.
Bring it some
just bring it, wow, they really brought some zazz into that.
Yeah, zazz is like absolutely.
Okay.
Said no one ever. I actually can't say it. Okay.
My
43 is.
Hurt.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, no, no.
I mean, I've got you. Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr. Scooby-Doo era.
Hot.
So hot.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar. I had the Scooby-Doo poster on my wall.
And in the same way that witches are gay, I guess vampire slayers also make you gay. And I think Sarah Michelle Gellar was one of the celebrity women that I had cut out of a magazine and stuck on the inside of my desk to let the other boys know that I was into chicks.
Yes.
Well, she was a weird pick, but...
I love her now.
She's amazing.
Obsessed with her
It's so crazy that they... It's the ultimate stunt casting for Scooby-Doo live.
They were dating, right?
Yeah.
And were they dating before? Or did they...
They were dating before. And then they were like,
that's
well,
awesome.
He can be Fred and she can be Daphne.
I love it. And then they'd broken up by Scooby-Doo 2, I think.
Really?
I think so.
Which is kind of like, sort of really, really famous, but kind of not.
I love that his name is Freddie Prinze Jr., but it's Prinze with a Z at A.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I've always called him Prince.
Okay, cool. Okay, here's my next one. I actually love this one. When I wrote this, I was like, this is the best one I've written on the list. Should be number one.
Should be.
It's Disney films going back in the vault. Do you remember this part of the world? Which was that. So like,
oh my God. I know this because of your ex. Brinley, our good friend.
Obsessed with
it. I was literally obsessed with things going back in the vault.
Yeah, so like The Lion King... everything.
And it's a great thing for a straight couple to obsess over.
It was really connected. Basically, every Disney film, all the classics, some didn't. So like Rescuers Down Under, you could always buy that on VHS. But if you wanted The Lion King, it was only released every 7 years. And I love it because sometimes people would bring it up. They'd be like, I really want to buy The Lion King. Do you know where I can get it? And I loved being able to say,
It's in the vault.
It's in
You're not going to see it for 5 years.
Yeah.
Little did you know, Eli know that right around the corner, a little thing called Disney Plus was
right around the corner about 16 years later.
It was being brought up in a boardroom somewhere.
But isn't it crazy that like kids now can be like, I want to watch this movie and you don't have to move.
I love the idea of also when like Disney Plus was just getting set up and then like whoever has the key to the vault.
I know.
Went down and like got all of them out.
I love to imagine like Scar and Mufasa and the little Myrtle coming pouring out of the vault. We're free!
There was definitely like an image of like, I don't know what it was on. It was maybe like a book I had or something that had like all the Disney characters like on something like on like Pride Rock or like they were all there.
Yes, I think there is a Pride Rock image and maybe also a little mermaid underwater castle image with a lot of them or something.
And I remember that being kind of amazing. And I also definitely remember like going through, if I do this, what does that remind you of?
Spiders?
No, oh, sorry, I'm twiddling my fingers.
Oh,
for the
looking
people
through
who...
looking through magazines?
Yeah. Remember at like a CD shop, there would just be like always a pile of posters?
Love that. Is this where you go, fuck off?
And you'd flip that, yeah. And you'd like be like Clockwork Orange, mm-hmm. And then
the one with the Pink Floyd covers on the naked ladies' backs,
yes, and then which is ultimately straight culture, isn't
yeah,
it?
That did not make me gay.
42 for me is Rufio in Peter Pan.
Yeah, I
ultimately
Hook. The movie's Hook.
Yeah,
it's not called Peter Pan.
But whose story is it? I guess it is Hook's story.
But Rufio is the main lost boy, isn't he? And it's
he dies?
He sure does
spoiler
die.
Alert. And it's honestly so heartbreaking because you feel like you're losing your one true love.
Yeah.
And there was just like something
he's
punk.
So confident, edgy.
And cool about cool. him. And he had like, he was just like, I couldn't believe him actually.
Yeah.
Like definitely in love with him.
Wait, did the actor die?
No. Or I mean, could have.
I don't know.
But in the movie
he dies.
I think
yeah,
he
I
dies.
Remember,
which is just unfair.
Why would they take him away from
why
us?
Why would you kill a kid in a kid's movie, you sick fucks?
God, I love when that guy picks up his legs and then rolls like a bowling ball.
Yes.
And great flick.
A great flick. I love when they eat the invisible rainbow ice cream.
I hate that food. It gives me the fucking creeps.
It's all dairy. It's, you know, it's
yuck. That'll make me shit. My next one is a school camp leader I had in third form. I can't remember his name. I think it was Michael, but he used to do something. He would do a thing that I think a lot of straight boys do. And I think sometimes I do it because I like, maybe it's this heteronormative thing inside me, but like put his hands down the back of his pants.
Oh
also
my
in his
god,
underwear,
that was huge!
Nestling them on the side of your butt cheeks, I guess. That, yeah.
And dude, yeah. Yes, that was so massive.
So
it doesn't
massive,
happen anymore.
So massive, yeah.
I don't know what it's about, yeah, but like it was like there, right?
Yeah.
And famously, like underneath the underwear.
Underneath the underwear.
Yeah.
You had to be inside the underwear. And that did so much for
there
me.
There was a lot when I was in third form and fourth form of putting your two hands like in your pants. Like there, like in the
like
front,
into
by,
your pubes,
by your pubes,
yeah.
And I remember being like, when did we start doing this? And I never did it. And but I was always trying to work out as if it's between the pant and underwear layer, or underwear and skin layer.
It's so full on.
Or is it skin and bones? And for lots of guys, it was between the pants and underwear layer. But then some guys were putting, like, their hands basically, like, in their genitals.
Yeah.
And just kind of cupping them. Lots. I would say, like, at boys' high, my high school, 40%.
Everyone's doing it. Yeah. You know, when I... The only time I really subtly do that is when I'm driving, especially like long distance.
Put your hands in your pants.
Yeah, I just can't. That's when I'm driving long distance, I just like have to touch my balls at some point.
Honestly.
Sorry to share that.
That is just...
Sorry to share that, but someone out there's probably relating.
I don't know.
I hope.
I don't know.
Please let someone relate to me.
Number 41 of things that we are doing, we should every now and then just remind people what we're doing. We are doing the top 100 things that made us gay. That really feels so cool.
And the numbers are going to be confusing because we're doing two 41s.
Yes, 41 or 8.
We're doing 25 each. So we're going 50, 50, 49, 49.
The maths. Just leave the maths out of it. Is, for me, stick-on earrings. Specifically, great. Do you remember, and I screenshotted it, this pack here?
Yeah.
Which was like basically a cardboard, wow. One piece of cardboard, and then it would be lots of earrings up to one, from 1 to 30. So it was one day, one new pair of earrings for, what do they say actually here on the instructions? For each day of the month. So you've got to pack up. So you'd buy 12 of these a year.
Yeah.
If you wanted to keep on the impression, the illusion that your ears were in fact pierced. And they were just little, they were actually, honestly, stickers. But for some reason, some genius was like, you could put that on skin.
Yeah. And there's nothing different about the sticker material, is there?
But I definitely got my hands on like a pack, you know, I don't know who from. And I remember just being like, also the things, it's the things that you can't have that make you gay.
Make you gay.
And I remember just being like, oh God, I would love that, you know, and not being able to have it. I think ultimately made me gayer.
Also, you're going, are you going to get your ears pierced still?
I really want to. Yeah. So bad. I've just like fucking got to. But there's still a part of me that's like, oh, I don't know.
I like having my pierce, but I just forget that they are.
Yes.
And I don't ever change.
I love putting on clip-on. Like, I love putting on earrings. And yeah. I love putting on jewellery. And so I'm like, why not just, like, absolutely open up that avenue of decoration in my life?
Stunning. Okay, my next one is the Roger and Hammerstein Cinderella with Brandy, Whitney Houston, Whoopi Goldberg, Victor Garber, Bernadette Peters.
Classic.
A camp classic. I showed it to Sam over lockdown last year. God, it's I absolutely adore it.
Incredible that it happened.
So diverse, beautiful performances, amazing songs. Everything about it is perfect. It's on YouTube, but not on Disney Plus for some godforsaken
reason.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going in at 40. I'm just picking up a bit of pace here. How are we going for time?
We're so long.
Chris Hemsworth as Kim on Home and Away.
I never saw that.
It was just like, while I was watching Home and Away, they were doing the omnibuses, I was getting really into it, and then suddenly, oh, who's this blonde, gorgeous swimmer on the show? And there's a scene where he does a lap in a pool, and gets out of the pool, and I just thought, wow, that is the most beautiful man I've ever met. That's little me did done. We know that there was a star on the rise.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking Thor, you know.
Yeah, he's so huge.
When he became that famous, I was like, I can't believe it's that guy Kim.
Yeah.
From Home and Away. I remember him from... I was a fan before he blew up.
Sick.
You know?
Well, you can hold on to that. My next one is just a quote. Some people say I look like my da.
What's that from?
Bewitched, Sailor V. Some people say I look like my da. First CD
actually,
I ever
Bewitched
owned.
Fucking
they
rocked,
rock.
And, yeah.
Blame it on the weatherman.
I used to sing that song pretty seriously. Don't blame it on myself. Just blame it on the weatherman. So good,
so
eh?
Beautiful, yeah.
God, Irish?
Yeah.
Go Ireland.
Did you not pick up from my perfect accent that I did with my fucked up lip just before?
It must be the lip.
From before I put on my dad.
39. We're in the 30s. Ground Force, starring Jeanette MacDonald. It
what
was a home renovation show.
Wow.
And Jeanette MacDonald, who was Lynn of Tawa, used to do the gardens and famously would hate it.
Yeah.
And it was like the epitome of camp, I think, for me, was her just like smashing up terracotta plates and scattering them through garden.
Wow.
Being like, ultimately, I hate being in the garden, but we are going to do a fantastic job on this family's home, you know? So you can never have enough geraniums. Just... with her kind of smoker's voice, it was just like I could watch it all day.
You know, I saw her in the waiting room for an audition in Wellington, and because we're famously up for the same roles,
similar time.
I just couldn't believe it. I never met her before, and I just like
she's amazing. She's like when I first graduated drama school, the very first show I did, I was doing a warm up, and it was like kind of like a theatre show where the cast changed every night. We're on the same night together, and I was doing warm ups on the stage, just like could not be more of a drama school graduate, and she walks in smoking inside. This is 2011. Like, it's, you know, it's crazy. And she goes, warming up. That won't last long. And walked out. And I was just like, it was heaven. She smoked inside. It was just like,
I love seeing people smoke inside. Because we are full jolt.
It does. I'm just like, go on. Keep doing it.
My next one's controversial, I reckon.
Controversial.
Because it's very commercial. It's The idea of twins. This I just wrote impulsively, and I was like,
interesting that you say that, because I was going to write about a twin experience on my list.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, just I think the idea of like having an identical twin, and like, to me, I was like, not that you'd like fuck your twin, but like, I don't know, there's something about it that's sexual to me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Interesting that you say that. Okay. Because it will pop up later on. So I'll wait till...
I think maybe it's the idea of like seeing yourself, not a mirror. So you kind of get to see yourself as a real person, and something about that is erotic to me.
My twin,
even though twins are completely different, completely separate person, but if you're an identical twin and you watch your other twin...
I met some identical twins the other day, actually, and their grandparents put them in red and blue because they couldn't tell the difference between them, and I thought that was cool. I was like, yeah. It's like six, they're going to have a complex. But also, I was befriended by... The first kind of friends I ever made at primary school were two identical twins who taught me how to tie my shoelaces, and they were gorgeous and blonde and amazing. Just like blue-eyed and just sweet, and I always often think about them.
I'm working with a twin who is engaged to another twin.
But often twins, and the other twin is gay. You know, when like one twin is gay, the other twin is gay.
And that ultimately nurture. That's a tick in the nurture can.
I guess at the end, you know, you'll be the judge of this audience at home. Okay, mm-hmm. Interesting the idea of twins. At... Number 38. Oh, Angelica Houston, The Witches. We can skim past this. We've talked about witchcraft.
Okay, my next one.
I'm glad
one.
I did reference her.
My next one. Okay, 37. Is that where we're up to?
37.
Okay, Lex in Jurassic Park. The girl who is, she's a computer hacker. She's a geek. Uh-huh. She also is cool, blonde, feisty, you know?
Strong female.
Whenever we played her as a kid, I would be like, we'd play Jurassic Park. I'd be like, well, I'll be Lex.
I think ultimately the part of you that taps into that is the part of you that wants that Samsung phone.
Yeah, exactly. And same she part. Also has a rainbow singlet in the film that I always was like,
okay.
I want the outfit.
Signal, yeah.
Yeah, she's got cool jeans
and a
rainbow singlet.
She's freak flag flying.
Yeah, she sure is.
Okay, we're getting up a bit of pace, which I enjoy. 37 for me is Jesus. You know him, you love him.
He made me gay.
I just think there's a lot of time in church staring at that bob.
He's hot. In every movie about Jesus, he's kind,
it's
of, kind of
hot. They get a heartthrob, you know? Yeah. Sacrificed a lot for us.
Mm-hmm.
And also
touches, healing with hands. Hot.
Yeah, just ripping bread. Anyone who rips bread with their hands, just like, get fucked.
Anyone who rips fish open and
somebody's like, hey, here's a bread. I'm shooting this around and like rips open a big salad. I'm just like, fuck yeah. We're all just, I hope you don't mind, we're all kind of drinking the same cup tonight, you know, just like...
Pre-COVID, Jesus was famously pre-COVID.
That party was, it was more than 10 friends, obviously, as well.
Yeah, Jesus is hot. Okay, my 36 is stop-motion animation in general, like all stop-motion animation. Something about, like...
Wallace and Gromit?
Yeah, or Prometheus and Bob, or Nightmare Before Christmas, or lots of sleek little figures wandering through the forest.
Would you want to fuck a claymation?
I think so. I think I'd fuck Jack Skellington for sure. And Prometheus from Prometheus and Bob. Yeah.
Wallace?
No. Unfortunately, I would not fuck
Wallace.
Is he gay? No, he's got a girlfriend in the movie. He dates her and he's constantly screwing things up.
Classic.
Yeah.
Straight man. 36. The Top Twins.
Oh my god! Well. That's our first double up.
First double up.
Actually, maybe I didn't write it down. I never thought about them. Yeah,
I just think like they kind of made me gayer later on in life, I think, but definitely like made society more accepting and therefore made it easier for me to be gay. But I just think they are ultimately the greatest talent we have in this country.
I think so too.
I think they're the most talented people I know. I don't know
so
them.
Funny. I got to meet them at the gala thing last year.
Riddled with jealousy.
They were so nice. And what was so nice is that Jules thought of a specific compliment to give every single person.
What did she give to you?
She said...
You're sassy?
No. She said, I love the stuff about drugs or something like that. Like, she was like...
Wow, so they watched. They listened.
They watched it all and listened. Yeah, it was awesome.
I just love watching old clips of them yodeling.
And when they sing,
They
spine tingling.
Yeah, they hit your heart.
And it was like, I mean, they did male drag as part, like,
yeah, they were doing drag,
such queer
camp
stuff.
It was like before Kath and Kim, there was the Top Twins.
I remember watching them in the square in Christchurch, and I thought it was so funny. Whenever anyone did an audience suggestion or gave any help, they gave them a condom, and they would give like 6 year old kids, like, here you go. It was so funny.
They're hilarious.
They're so good. Okay, my next one, number 35, the Game of Life board game. You know when you're in the little convertible car and you start out and then you get a wife or a husband and then you have kids in the back and then you spin that amazing
and
wheel.
That made you
beautiful
gay.
Mountain. Just the it look. I mean, it looks
like a wife and kids in a car.
Yeah, because it was like that experience of life of like driving around the
American.
Were you
the wife in that situation?
Yeah, I think so. And because you got to pick the different colours of the sticks that went in the car, so you can make a beautiful combination. And I loved the little mountain.
Your family played a lot of board games.
Yeah. And Game of Life was the original. Right from the jump.
Yeah, we never played Game of Life. In fact, Game of Life kind of popped into my life when I was about 12 years old, and I thought, I've been living this life a long time. I'm surprised I haven't played the game.
Yeah. Once you play it, then you're like, oh, that's what life is meant to be.
What is it? What is the main lesson of Game of Life?
Honestly, money? Yeah, money and family.
And coming in at number 35, we're on our way to, we'll be taking a break at 25 and be doing a part two because this is turning into a lovely long episode. 35, jellies, the shoes.
Yeah.
Fucking wanted them so bad. And guess what? I got a pair. I don't know how I convinced my parents. I was young enough that they're like, fucking put them on this little boy. And I just remember being like, I'm dressed like the girls.
I'm so jealous.
It was unbelievable.
I wanted them and couldn't get them.
I got a blue pair, which ultimately, you know, blue for a boy. And I didn't think I wanted blue. I think I wanted pink.
They should bring them back for adults right now, today.
I'm sure they've got, they actually, no, they did a big, like,
oh, we're back.
If you search jellies on ASOS, like, they'll be there, and they'll be wedged, and they'll be everything.
Yeah, of course.
Wedged, I mean, platformed.
Yeah.
A jelly wedge, I think, is basically, you know, it's like a death trap.
Yeah, it's scary. It'll be slippery. Coming at number 34 for me, my dad, who is gay.
Again,
I don't know if that's podcast canon or not, but my dad is gay. He came out to me in 2017.
And we've been holding on to that secret for quite some time.
And I feel it. And I remember when he told me, or like one of the first few conversations we had about it after he came out, he was like, and, you know, I guess maybe it's genetic. Maybe that explains you. And
well, that would be another dot in the nature camp.
But honestly, my knee-jerk reaction was to be like, no, I'm not just gay because you make, like that was my instant impulse was to be like, no, I'm my own person.
That wouldn't make sense at all because then like... his father wasn't gay, or was he?
Well, he was in the Navy. He loved being on the sea. No, I think he had a pretty straight energy, though.
Amazing to have a granddad in the Navy.
Yeah.
That's such a beautiful, amazing story. And definitely, there needs to be a podcast on that, you know? We need some dedicated time.
We do. We really need to spend more time in it.
Unpack, Dad. Listen into it, you know?
When I put this on the list, I was like, oh, this is, I'm opening up a whole...
can of worms.
Hot springs.
But I think
here.
If you do a podcast, it can't be like this. It needs to be like, yeah. I'll VO it.
Yeah, great.
You know, like, for like, you know, this a father, is this is a story of a father and a son. You know, that kind of one.
Yeah, I love that.
34, Sophie Monk in Bardot, and specifically the Poison music video.
Wow, awesome.
I remember just frothing at
that video. Is so
their
cool.
Video is so cool. They each have their own room. She's a bird in a cage. And I was just like, there were slides. It was kind of the height of like, let's pour heaps of money into reality TV and like make these bands.
Yes. Easily the best pop star song. Same. But I wish they were committing to doing a girl band, a girl or boy band.
Are they not? What are they doing?
Well, I think you can be a solo artist on this new version of Popstars.
No. They need to do a band. We will get behind a band. We will not get behind a solo artist.
Yeah. I think when I watched Popstars, the New Zealand version as well, and they were doing dance rehearsals in the Scout Hall, I was like, man, I want to be in that Scout Hall.
Kimbra is like announced to be working on that show.
Yeah.
And she is in my DMs constantly wanting to hang out with me.
Wow.
And I just cannot wait to connect with her.
You've got to hang out with Kimbra.
Oh, listen, it's definitely going to happen. Because she's messaging me a lot.
Dude, she has a crush on. I think Kimbra has a crush on you. New podcast canon is Kimbra has a crush on Chris.
You heard it here first. She's an exclusive. I guess I'm one of New Zealand's sexiest men.
Nice. I've got one here that's quite similar to one you already had. All of my friends at primary school that are now queer. There's so many people I was friends with at high school, and I look back at like. The makeup of the group and who we were visually and all that stuff, and I'm like,
sorry, just open up some sparkling water. It was a big kss. But amazing to switch from still to sparkling.
Gorgeous.
Keep going.
It's really going to add some pepper. Well, it's just like I think that group is. I think of particularly my friends Tom and Jeffcoat, and looking back at us at primary school and the group of us hanging out, we looked very weird. We're all visually very different.
Are they all queer now?
Yeah.
At primary school.
they weren't at primary school, but like now it's like, I wonder why we were friends.
You
and now
dirty
it's like,
little rascals.
We got it. I know why we were friends.
I was friends with a lot of boys, like, well, tried to be because I thought it looked good in terms of the image I was trying to sell of myself. And they're all straight. But there was one guy who left primary school to move to Wanaka.
Wow.
Often I Google his name on Facebook to see if he's around, but he's never popped up again. Oliver Barton. If you're listening.
Oliver Barton. Find
I would
him.
Say he's a missing
this
person.
This is a new male gay series of finding Oliver Barton.
And this like next week, like we are like one step closer to finding Oliver Barton. He was like my best friend. He used to go to his house all the time. And then he moved to Wanaka. I remember feeling a little bit sad about it. Never saw him again. Never heard of him again.
Wow.
And have looked for him.
We've got to find him.
I'm actually going to Wanaka very soon.
He might be. You might just run into him on the street.
Fuck, that would be amazing. I mean, if you move to Wanaka when you're a kid, do you stay there?
Do you? Hey, excuse me, sir. Do you want to try some Subway?
oh my god. Kiss. Yeah. I've got a boyfriend, you know.
Yeah.
It all works.
Oh my god, the drama.
33, Bert and Ernie.
Well,
specifically Ernie.
Oh,
loved
Bert
him.
For me. I've always liked Bert better.
That's really
Isn't that fuzzy?
Interesting about yeah. us. I identify more with Ernie.
I identify more with Bert. A little bit uptight.
Is that... I'm like, never wants to grow up.
Yeah.
Loves like, a bath.
Grouchy.
Wow, that's so interesting that we swing either way there.
I think I like the mustache as well.
I think if I met them as adults...
Wait a
as humans, sorry, it's like more than puppets.
Yeah.
I think I would be like, this Ernie guy needs to grow up. But as a kid, loved him the most.
Yeah.
Whereas Bert, I think I'd be like, oh, he's a bit of a grouch, but he's very camp.
He's
like,
very fun.
He's funny. He's smart. He's smart. He's a real bitch. Great style. Like
love
turtlenecks.
Bert. Yeah.
You know, so I think he'd have like a, you know, similar, like he'd piercings and, you know.
Yeah, nipple pierced.
He's
pierced.
Lived in Berlin for a bit.
Yeah. Okay, my next one, number 32, is I Dream of Jeannie, and specifically thinking it was better than Bewitched. I loved I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, it's funny that that was on TV when we were...
Loved it. Yeah, I loved her outfit. I wanted to wear Jeannie pants. So cool.
Elvira? Was that her, like, aunt or whatever?
Elvira? I don't remember.
Oh, no. That is the... isn't that the witch...
Elvira is the famous...
Yes. But I Dream a Genie, she had, like, there was like an auntie or someone.
I Dream of Genie. I love it. It's classic fish out of water comedy, you know.
Yeah. I can't remember what her name was. Anyway, yeah, great show. Weird that it was on TV, like, in the 90s in New Zealand. I don't know why.
And what's that one? Beverly Hillbillies. That was on TV
that was
all
so
the goddamn time.
Much. What so was up bizarre. With that? We just were like, we were making TV here, but we were like playing stuff from like the 70s.
So old.
Okay, coming at number 32, iconically Mika. And weirdly, he's gay now.
Mm.
Was always, I mean.
But he had to stay in the closet, didn't he? Even though he was making the
camp. He was in the closet,
music.
It was so camp. And actually, he was in New Zealand not too long ago, and I was very tempted to go, but I was, me and my boyfriend were walking through the car park, the Civic, and I was like, couldn't work out. There's a lot of people like lining up to pay tickets for parking who had just been to a concert.
Yeah.
And you know when like a concert's on, you know by the audience that are going because they're all kind of the similar demographic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who
was
are
this?
These people here to see? I just like couldn't work it out. A lot of women.
Yeah.
A lot of groups of women.
Wow.
You know, I wouldn't say they were like, you know, a whammy K-Road crowd, and I was like, sort of like a sort of people you'd sort of see at the mall, or you know, like they're just sort of very kind of, and then the odd kind of queer individual, but like not like a Troy Sivan concert,
yeah.
And everyone was like 30 plus, and I just couldn't work it out. And
That's
then I
so
googled,
wild.
And then I was like, no, I remember asking someone, I was like, who's playing tonight? And they're like, Mika, and it's like.
Mika. I haven't heard that name in 100 years. That's awesome. Great music.
Great music.
I put it number 31. All of my older sister's boyfriends.
Yeah.
Like anytime.
Did you have a crush on them?
I don't know if I have a crush on them, but just maybe the idea of like it really brought it into the family, the idea of like dating people and kissing people. I was like, ooh.
Specifically men.
Yeah, specifically boys. The boys.
Number 31, waistbands on underwear.
I've got that on here.
I don't know when like waistband culture got so big.
So big.
But it was certainly like the rise of Calvin Klein. And there were guys at my intermediate school, so I was 11 or 12 years old, the rich kids had Calvin Klein
that
underwear.
Fuck off. What?
It was fucking crazy. What? And I remember just being like, I remember being that age and being like, you know, like linking that to like the models wearing it and just kind of being like, oh God, this is so intense to be going through there. Yeah. Don't buy your 11-year-old kid
Calvin Klein's. I had two pairs of Dan Carter jockeys and it was like, I wanted to wear them every day. You know, like, I was like,
the blue and white stripe ones.
The blue and white stripes.
Yeah.
Loved them. Okay. Number 30 for me, Jonathan Taylor Thomas cancer scare storyline on Home Improvement. I think because I got to do a very sad, tender monologue.
And in many ways, being gay is a cancer scare.
I think I was seeing him perform this like tender. Well, I think it was like, I saw it and I wanted to be a child star.
But like, again, I've noticed like a tone in all your things. There's an element of sadness there.
Yeah, dear. A bit
of Fiona, a drop of the, a bite of the Fiona apple.
A bite of the Fiona apple.
Beautiful stuff. And very scary. Did the character have cancer in the
end? No, in the end he doesn't and he's fine. But there was all these rumors that he was leaving the show.
That's right. Was he a teen?
Yeah, he was like, I don't know, 11.
Heartthrob. I never was a big JTT fan. The ladies were frothing over him, and I was I had my eyes on other boys.
Yes.
30, emo culture, MCR, and also I've included Cosmic Corner.
So.
But that I would say was like, the invention of bisexuality.
That's where they invented it. They cooked it up in a lab in Cosmic Corner.
And they were selling it as a vase. But I just felt like to be emo was like you could get away with. There's a lot of chat being like, yeah, so-and-so's kind of like hooking up with guys at parties.
Yeah.
You know, like the straight boys were actually bi. You know, that
Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day was out and bi pretty early on. And I remember being like, wow.
Yeah. And it was big and important for me, you know, to have some bisexual friends around.
Hang out at the bus exchange. Teenagers that hang out at the bus exchange, I'm like, well, you guys are fucking.
Totally.
That's awesome.
You're not even just giving like handjobs, you're having full sex.
29. Here's another sad divorce storyline.
Oh God, so much sadness linked to your sexuality. Got to unpack it.
Julianne Moore in Far From Heaven. She was an Oscar nominee but didn't win. It is about her husband, I think, is played by Dennis Quaid, and he's gay and he leaves her. And then it's in the 50s. I think it was a sad 50s housewife. I loved it. I made us get it out from the video shop. I would have been 10.
Parents are like, okay. And listening to Fiona Apple. What the fuck?
Yeah, we're really uncovering some stuff, making this list.
So sad. It's so weird. 29 for me is best dressed and worst dressed lists.
Of course.
Such a weird sentence. Best dressed and worst list. But just like, so really like, just to go to the hospital. I mean, sorry. The doctor or the dentist and just be able to flick through a magazine and just suddenly be like, she looks great there. She looks terrible. You know, like at the age of like 9, being like, I love Jennifer Lopez in this dress or whatever. You know, it's like,
it seems something like a 3 out of 10 from Women's Day, but being like, I actually quite like that.
and this is shade. Or being like 10 out of 10, be like, well, obviously.
Yeah.
But ultimately waiting to, you know, get your tonsils removed before that. You know,
it's like full pain looking through these outfits.
Like having like absolute diarrhea, but then to have the confidence to flick through a magazine.
So
that someone else who's sick before you has licked their fingers and flicked through. Like,
pre-COVID,
but are they getting rid of the magazines?
I hope not. Just wrap them in
people
plastic.
People literally lick their fingers and flick
that
them.
That is gross.
I saw this funny TikTok that was like, what is the weirdest thing that we used to do pre-COVID that you can't imagine doing now? And someone was like, I can't believe we went bowling. We put our three fingers in the same three holes that other people had put in, and then we'd be eating at the same time, being like, licking our fingers. It's so crazy. Anyway.
So true. But also, I want to go bowling.
I miss bowling, yeah.
Okay, number 28, Aladdin, self-explanatory. Hot outfit.
Hot
everything's
outfit.
Hot about
and,
it.
And never really pulled off a trend of no shirt, small waistcoat.
No, and thank God. I think it's exclusively only hot on Aladdin and only as a cartoon.
Number 28 for me is Miss Davis and Miss Hudson from my English department.
They directed me too.
They directed me in Jesus Christ Superstar. No, sorry. That was Sandra, a legend. And Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But also Miss Hudson would, like, this is when you used to be able to, like, get, you, I'd, like, bunk, and I'd go into the English department, and she'd be like, do you want to look through magazines? And we flip through magazines together.
That
I was like
16, cool.
And I was like, this is great.
That's heaven.
And just, like, sitting at the front of class, just, like, hoping they like me.
Yeah.
It's very gay
to be
liked by an English teacher.
My most glamorous former teacher, like, I went back to high school, and she said hi, and she said, you've got to do a speech for the kids. And she was dressed so gorgeously, and I was like, of course you remember me, and I remember you. Number 27, Lara Croft and her breasts. And, like, obviously, like, lots of boys are obsessed with Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider. And for me, it was like, I think I wanted to wear the outfits, and I wanted to know, and I wanted to feel the confidence of having those breasts.
With your flip phone. You either go two directions, which is you're sad you're out of a divorce, or you're like
great, sexed up computer-generated character created for the pleasure of men.
27, Drop Dead Gorgeous, every single performance in that film.
Oh my god, Kirsten Dunst. Denise Richards. Kirstie Alley.
Allison Janney.
Oh my god. It's so funny.
Let me go back through the list again of Drop Dead Gorgeous, because we have time just to be Googling things.
Yeah, we've crossed an hour on this episode.
Denise Richards, Kirsten Dunst, Kirstie Alley, Amy Adams.
Fuck off.
Brittany Murphy.
Oh.
Allison Janney. Like, it's just an unbelievable cast.
Original, like, true mockumentary style. So funny.
So funny. Fun.
Everyone's amazing in it. Number 26, an iconic gay moment for me. When I first sucked a dick and it felt right.
Whose dick?
I'm not saying on the pod. Oh, I'm not saying on the
pod. Do I know this person?
Yeah.
Is it who I think it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, gorgeous.
Even though overall that was not a good experience overall in many, many ways. But I do remember the actually doing that and being like, oh yeah, I could do this.
Yeah, I remember the first dick I sucked and thinking like, God, this is fun.
Yeah.
Because for me, sex prior to that was like romance.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was always serious. And then I was like, oh, you can just like root. And that's so good.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Such a great one. Okay, number 76, soft flowing fabric.
Number 76.
I'm sorry, 26.
Just building things and all something.
It's ultimately pitch black outside. I've drinking so much water. Don't need to go to the toilet, so obviously very dehydrated.
Yeah.
Soft flowing fabrics at number 26.
Of course.
Particularly silk. But the feel, being able to dress up in them,
sort
the fantasy, the feeling. You know, I think in many ways that you wanted to be on a flip phone or be Tomb Raider, I wanted to be like a fairy or an angel. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like, but just sort of flying.
Yeah. Number 25, my Aqua remix album. I wanted to buy Aquarium, the Aqua album, but I couldn't afford it. But for $10, there was a remix album. And so that was what I obsessively listened to. These like full on like 10-minute techno remixes of Aqua. I was listening to like full like crazy European club music as an 8-year-old kid. That and Fiona Apple crying or dropping pills.
Was that your 25?
That was my 25.
Okay, so my 25 and ending this part of the 100 things I made.
Okay.
To celebrate 100 episodes is Cosmo Sealed Sections.
Wow.
Unwrapped. Just be able to, but like, you'd be able to push it and peep through it. And I would look at those while on the toilet, taking a shit. Like, we had a stack of magazines by our toilet, and I'm talking 30.
That's a lot of magazines.
There's a lot of magazines. It's actually filthy to think that there's just so much fecal matter. You know, like, it's disgusting. But ultimately, like, I would spend a lot of time on the toilet looking at those magazines and reading, trying to read as much as I can about like how to give a perfect blowjob. Wow. And the secret for those listeners there is actually to spell the alphabet. And we will leave you on that. If you want to give a good job, is spell the alphabet with your tongue.
I don't think that
sends the lads crazy. They love it. They actually love it. And it's a really good tip.
And we'll be back next week with the top 25.
The top 50 things that made us gay, but we will be wearing 25 each. And we'll go from 25 up. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. Yeah.
mail. And they're both gay. The male
gays. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.